Well, brothers and sisters, the title of today's class is Breaking Out of the Lies. Let's take a look at the Word of God. Ever since the beginning, we find out that the devil in chapter 3 of Genesis is a liar. And that is the power that Satan has. The primary power the devil has in your life and in my life. The ability to lie, to trick, to deceive in such a way that you believe it. And then when you believe it and you act on that, you submit to him, you obey him and what he has put into your mind through his lie, then you give him power and authority over your life. And that happened in Genesis chapter 3. You know, Adam and Eve are in the garden and everything's great. Everything's perfect. There's nothing wrong. There's no sin. But there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're not supposed to eat from that tree. So Eve happens to start having a conversation with the serpent, and it's the devil. And the whole purpose of the devil is to get her to eat from the tree, like disobey God so that she would fall from her sinless state. And so look what he did. And I'm going to read an excerpt from an article from Desiring God. It says, then suddenly, when chapter 3 opens, there is the serpent, and he is clearly evil. He is calling God's word into question. And that's his power. That's what he does first, is try to lie to you, try to get you to question God, to doubt God. He says in Genesis 3:1, did God actually say you should not eat of any tree in the garden? He is devious and deceitful and destructive. God had said in Genesis 2:17, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. But the serpent says in Genesis 3:4, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, that is the devil's main tactic. The serpent is to deceive and to lie. Therefore, Jesus says of him in John 8:44, he says that the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. Look what it says there. You are of your father, the devil. He's speaking to these people that were against him or saying lies. He says, you're of the father of the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we get this picture of the devil. Number one thing he is a liar. So don't think of him so much as a powerful person. He can come and force you to do things. The devil can't come and force you to do anything. But what he can do, he's going to lie to you. And that lie, once you accept it, it gives him a lot of power in your life in that area of the lie. The serpent in the garden is called the devil. And that word means the slanderer. That's what the devil means, the slanderer. You see, even in his title, devil, he's a liar. A slander is to go around saying lies about someone. That's someone who slanders. And that's the devil. And the word Satan means accuser. And that's what he does. He accuses us toward God, pointing out our faults. And then he comes at us and tries to point out God's faults, as if God had any faults, which he doesn't. So he just makes up lies. So that's the devil's work. He's constantly lying, trying to make us believe the lies that he's saying. Even though he has power, it's power that we give him, because he has been defeated, completely defeated. So the only power he has is lies. I'm going to read some verses that show you that the devil, as an enemy, as an authority on the earth, has been defeated by Jesus, specifically on his cross. Look what Jesus said in John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And in Colossians 2:15, Paul says that Jesus, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. So God destroyed completely principalities and powers, which we're talking about the evil spirits and the devil, completely spoiled them, which means when you spoil an enemy, you come with your army, you beat them, you kill them, and then you take all their riches and you spoil them. And that's what God did to the devil. He defeated him and then took everything he had away. So why are we still having to deal with the devil? Because even though he was defeated, he's still around. And anyone who submits to him automatically lets the devil have power over them again. And there's plenty of people in the world that have submitted to him. The whole world system, all the great men of the world are submitted to that system, to his plan, to his ideas. And that's where he gets his power over the world. This is really a powerful scripture. Romans 6, 14 to 18. It's going to say that we have been completely set free from the dominion of sin, yet we can still be under its control if we submit to it, just like the devil. Look what it says in Romans 6, 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You see, he's saying, yes, we've been set free from the dominion of sin. It no longer has a control over you like a slave master over his slave where you have to obey him. No, Jesus Christ has set us free from that dominion of sin. Yet it says, if you choose to submit to it anyways, by listening to the devil's lies and obeying him, submitting to him, you become his servant. So there's still that law in the spiritual realm. Even though you've been set free from the dominion of sin, you could still be a servant of the devil. It says, don't you know that who you yield yourself to as servants to obey, whoever you obey, you become his servant. And that's what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve were perfect. There was no sin. Yet when the devil came around, gave them a lie, they obeyed the devil. Eve obeyed the devil, and then Adam ate as well. They both obeyed. So in obeying, they submitted. They yielded themselves to him. That's what it says in Romans 6:16. And once they yielded to him through obedience, they became his servants. God originally had given the earth to mankind. He had told man, you will have dominion over the earth and over everything that's in it. He made man the ruler over the earth. But when man listened to the devil's lie, submitted to it, yielded to it by obeying him, they made the devil their master. So now guess who's the master of the world? Guess who has dominion over the world? The devil. So we allow the devil to take dominion over the earth through us submitting and yielding to him. So even though the enemy now, by the cross of Jesus, is defeated, all his authority's power has been stripped that he had taken. Adam gave all the dominion of the earth to the devil. That's where the devil got his power over the earth. Jesus broke that on the cross. Yet, in practice, so many people are yielding to the devil that the devil still has authority over most of the world. It says he is the prince of the power of the air. It says he is the god of this age. That's what it calls him. He was given this rulership, this godhood, not in deity, but in control and dominion over this earth because of man's submission to him. And still, every day in our lives, we can submit to him and he becomes our master in whatever area we submit to him by believing his lies. So that is the power of the devil, lies. Even though Jesus defeated him completely, he is disarmed and defeated. Yet he can have authority over us if we believe his lies. Now listen to this. Listen to how God tells us we need to protect ourselves against the devil. So if the devil's main tool is lies, then what should be our main defense against the devil? Truth. Truth, the Bible, somebody said, that's going to be your main defense against the devil. Okay? And we're going to see that right here. Ephesians 6, 11 to 17. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the attack of the devil. What does it say? It says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's a wile? I looked it up. The wiles mean the trickery, the deception, the trickery. That's literally what it means, of the devil. So wow, it says put on armor. You just see a soldier getting a shield, his sword, his helmet. All the body armor everywhere, big plates of armor. And what is he going to guard against? Trickery. You see, in the physical realm, we fight with, you know, physical weapons. But the Bible says we fight not against, and it says there in verse 12, Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. other people that are physical, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, we're not going to be wearing armor to protect ourselves physically. We need to protect ourselves spiritually from spiritual attacks, which primarily are trickery, lies. Wow. Look what it says in verse 13. Therefore, take unto you, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with, what's the first thing? Truth. Like somebody just said, your loins have to be girt about with truth. You see, the devil comes with lies, with wiles, with trickery. So the main defense needs to be truth. Okay, the first thing he mentions. Your loins girt about with truth, which is like the belt that holds all the armor together. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, where with the shield of faith, you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So notice, the fiery darts get put out by faith. So what are the darts made of? If the fiery darts are blocked by faith, which is the shield, then what are the darts made of? Think about it. Lies. Lies. So faith is trusting in God. Absolutely. Belief in God. So disbelief and doubt and lies against the truth is what's flying at us. That's the main thing flying at us. And so we might think it's, oh no, the devil's using this power and this tactic. No, no, it's real simple. He's just attacking you with different lies, different things to go against the truth. Disbelief the truth. Doubt the truth. That's what he's throwing at you constantly. Doubt the truth, doubt the truth. And telling you lies, lies, lies. Those are his darts. That's what the devil uses primarily. And it says finally here, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you see here, in this spiritual battle between good and the enemy, the weapon that we have, the only offensive weapon to attack him, is the word of God. So what is the enemy using as a weapon? I would call it the word of the devil, because he always twists. He gets the word of God and twists it a little bit. And he tells you all sorts of lies. So it's words. The truth, the word of God, is our offensive weapon. The devil's attack against us is his word. He takes the word of God, he twists it, making it his own perverted version. And he tells you lies, and he fills your mind with things that are not true. And that's his offensive weapon. You see, the fiery darts are doubts, disbelief. The weapon is the word of the devil, which is all lies and perverse twisting of the scriptures and twisting of the truth. You see, that's the spiritual battle. It's nothing else. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. We're fighting a defeated foe that knows that what he has is a mouth, and he knows us, and he can trick. And if we accept and believe the lie, he gets in and he gets power over our lives in that area that we believed him in. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You see, we need to fight the good fight of what? The whole battle really can be summarized in just faith. Persist in faith. Believe in God. In everything God has said, in every area. Believe completely, totally, in everything God has said, in every area. So what's the devil's fight against you? Doubt God. Don't believe. I'll hit this truth here, I'll hit that, I'll stop you here, there, anywhere I can. I'll deceive, I'll twist, I'll darken the truth, I'll mix the truth. I'll do anything I can to put lies in there. That's the battle. It's the battle. The fight is really just faith. If we can just believe, like Jesus said, only believe, we would have victory in every area. Think about that. We'll get into that later. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around seeking whom he may devour. So notice, he's our adversary, the devil, like a lion. But notice what it says. He's seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour whoever he wants. He has to find someone that he can devour. And who is that? Someone who believes his lies. And then it says in 1 Peter 5:9, the next verse, whom the devil resist. So resist him, whom resist steadfastly in the faith, whom resist steadfast. Steadfast means persistently, constantly. you know, not wavering, persistently. Resist him persistently, steadfast in the faith. You see, that's how you resist the devil. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. What does the Bible say about resisting? It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And how do you resist? In the faith. You see, he's always coming with lies, seeking to see who will believe his lie. And whoever believes, that's whom he may devour. Nobody else. He can't devour you if you don't believe his lie. So his main weapon is lies, deceit. Let's see who will believe it. And we can defeat him by resisting, standing steadfast in the faith. Praise God. Like we read earlier, the devil is the father of lies. So I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase, a brainchild. You know, this certain concept or idea or this whole program that started, they say it was a brainchild of so-and-so. It all came to be in his mind. It was conceived in his mind. He developed it, and he was the father of that whole concept, that whole idea, that whole program. So it's his brainchild. Well, every lie is the brainchild of Satan. The Bible says, Jesus says that. He says that he is the father of lies, of the lies. He's the father. So when he speaks a lie, he sends his children to you. And what he's hoping is that you'll let them in. And when you believe a lie, you let his children into you. So now the devil, the daddy of these children, which is the devil, the father of these lies, now has his children in your house. And you welcome them in. So you are the host of these creepy little children, which are the devil's children, his lies. And when you invite them in, they're going to make themselves comfortable. And they don't come in alone. They come in with the caretakers. You know, every child, especially the child of a powerful person, has caretakers. And Satan's children, which are his lies, when you accept them into your house, they come in with caretakers, entities that have been given the task of making sure that this lie is comfortable, that it continues to be believed, that it doesn't lose its place, that you continue to host it in your life. So who are these caretakers, these entities? You probably already guessed it. They're called demons. The Bible calls them demons, spirits, principalities, powers, different evil spirits in high places. So anytime you believe a lie of the devil, it doesn't come by itself. The devil's not that foolish. You believe a lie, that child comes in with all its caretakers. So now you not only have a lie that you believe in your heart, but you have a bunch of demonic forces in your life that are enforcing, establishing constantly and enforcing and making you believe and strengthening that lie in your life. It's like they are dedicated to feeding it, to making you believe it more, to making it grow, to making it stronger, to making it as hard as possible to remove from your life. So don't think it's just a mental battle. Oh, here's the truth, I'll let go of it. No, no. It penetrates into your heart and then it becomes spiritual. And so now you're not only trying to get out a lie, you're trying to get out a lie and a demonic entity that has full authority to be in your life because you said yes when you believed the lie. It's like a legal document. You know, when you buy a house, you have to sign a ton of papers, you know, to all these legal requirements and all these legal disclosures and things that you agree to, and you have to sign off, yes, 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 I agree. When you believe the devil's lies, that's what you do. You say yes, 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 yes to all these different things that come along with that lie. And now the devil has that title deed of that part of your life in his hand with your signature. So when God can't come and say, hey, get out of him, he'll say, hey, he let me in. He told me I could be in here. This is his signature. So God is not going to violate our free will. He gave us free will. So to cast the devil out of your life, that you allowed in and that you're protecting, you're harboring him in your life because of your legal consent through believing him, God's not going to do that. That's why it's so powerful to have someone believe the truth and understand the truth and be renewed in their mind and accept the truth in their heart and reject the lie and believe the truth. That takes away the devil's legal right. Only the person has a right to stop believing that truth and destroy the devil's legal right. And then we can cast out the demons fairly easily. Or sometimes they'll just leave because you're filling yourself with the word of God. They don't have a place, a right anymore. They don't have legal authority. So anytime We're under demonic oppression, demonic influence. You better believe there is a lie that we're believing that allowed them to come in. So how does he tell us lies? How can the devil whisper lies into our life? Parents, teachers, cops. Okay, that's a good point. Can a parent teach you a lie from the devil? Sure. Maybe not in the way what they say, but just a parent can tell you a lie of the devil just by the way they treat you. Isn't that crazy? Think about it. If a parent is abusive and hurts their child, what are they telling the child? They're telling the child a lie of the devil. They're saying, you're not worthy of love. You're not worthy of care. You're a piece of garbage. You're a piece of trash. That's the lie of the devil. Okay? And the lie, and if the child believes it, lets it into their heart, now they're constantly living their whole life thinking, I'm a piece of trash. I'm not worthy. I'm no good. And boy, there's lots of demons attached to that, and that'll wreck your life if you let it. You know, the devil would run with that. Teachers, cops, just anybody in authority that you look up to, when they misrepresent God, that can twist your view and put a lie into your heart. That's really, really powerful. They don't have to say it with their words, but just the way they act and the way they treat you, they can misrepresent authority, misrepresent the truth. Lusts. You'd have to be blind to not to see what he's doing in society, to saturate society with lewdness and promiscuity and just all sorts of filth. So that's a bunch of lies speaking to you. But let's go a little deeper. What lie do you have to believe? Well, you have to believe that there's nothing more than flesh. You have to believe that your identity is just a being of flesh. And so you got to satisfy all those desires which were designed to be fulfilled by God. Fulfill those desires with the things around you and abusing and using people and things around you to satisfy the desire for God that's really deep inside. Some really smart guy said that we were created with a God-sized hole inside of us. So all those desires are really desires for God. But we think, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fill it with this and that because we believe the lie of the devil. There is no God. There's nothing better, nothing higher, nothing greater than myself. And so then we look around and start trying to see how can we fill our lives in that hole with lusts when the devil offers us lusts. And since we already believe the lie, it's easier for us to start saying yes to his lusts. All right, let's see what else. Peers. Oh, yeah. All those people that surround you. I was just watching this black preacher. It was an awesome teaching. He was teaching on a certain subject. But he said, you know, there's a huge problem among the black community. He said, what's happening to our young men is that they are growing up without fathers. And we know that in the black community, they have a disproportionately high ratio of fatherless children. So they're growing up without a father. And the father, the way he treats you, the way he, you know, demonstrates love to you, that tells you a lot about yourself. So basically the way a father treats the child is telling the child his identity. You are worthy of this. You are worthy of that. You are worthy of this. I treat you like this. So that's who you are. You're a person that's worthy of this treatment. So they treat you well. They love you. They don't leave you. They stay with you. They're telling you, you are worthy of love. You're worthy of being with me. You're worthy of, you know, of me staying with you. And that shows you your identity. It becomes who you are. So you have an established identity, an anchor. This is who I am. I'm a person that's worthy of love. I'm a person that's worthy of attention. And so you have this basis. So you're not out there looking the rest of your life for attention and love and all that stuff. So what happens when a young man grows without a father figure, especially in a community where the way to get respect and to get an identity is through gang violence and gang-related activities, well, they become what he called sociopaths, where they're constantly looking to please the other people around them to try to get an identity by pleasing other people their age or whoever is doing the coolest thing at the moment. And so they do all sorts of crazy stuff to regain that sense of identity. So what lie did the devil tell them? Just by the fact their father wasn't there, what lie did the devil tell them? And they believed it. You're not worthy. You're not important. So they go around their life trying to gain an identity, gain worthiness from the people around them. And they're willing to do almost anything to get it, because they feel something according to what the devil has put in their heart. What I just told you is trying to get you to think a little bit beyond what we normally think. You know, it's not just I read in a book and I said a lie. Oh, no, I believe it. No, a lot of it has to do with the way people treat you, your life experiences, things that happen, things that you do, things that are done to you. Through all of them, the devil speaks a lie to your heart. And then if you believe it, it gets in there and it starts to run your life and to direct you and steer you in a certain way. And we've all got these lies. It's not just children without fathers or people in one or other situation. All of us receive lies constantly. If it's not through the media, if it's not through music, TV, the stuff we read, the influences around us, the things, the friends we have, experiences we've had in our past, all that stuff, the devil's constantly speaking lies, 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 lies. Believe it, believe it. And if you believe it, he gains access. The devil's a master at telling us lies when we don't think he's lying to us. So as we see here, the devil, the main thing he's after is your identity, to get you to feel insecure in the identity that God has given you. Your identity really is a child of God. We have been given the power to become the sons of God, and we are born of God, and we're a child of God. So anything in our life, I mean, anything that isn't the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those are the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we should be feeling at all times, if we've got no lies. But if we believe the devil's lie, it goes into our heart, then it starts to breed the devil's results, which are anxiety, fear, lusts, and all sorts of stuff. For example, it says in the scriptures, our God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Meaning no matter what your needs are, God's going to meet your needs. But when we suddenly get laid off from our job, what's the first thing we might feel? Afraid, scared, fear. Why? Because we don't believe the scriptures. Why? Because we believe something else. What do you believe in that moment? This is just an example. What do you believe in that moment when you're afraid because you just lost your job? Well, you don't feel like the son of the Almighty Father. You feel like an orphan. Suddenly you feel like there's no one going to watch out for you. It's a lie. She put here, I'll never get another job. All these fears, all these things that make you feel fear. Remember, feelings come from beliefs that we have in our heart. So we can say we believe the word of God, but when the rubber meets the road, in that moment, we might feel a lot of things which might indicate we don't believe God in that area of our life. Okay? We believe the devil. So think about all the fears, the anxieties, the lusts, everything that we feel that is not the fruit of the Spirit. Think of it, behind that feeling, there is a belief. There is a belief. Somewhere along the way, I received this child of Satan into my heart, this lie. And there's evil spirits and this lie in my heart, causing me to feel these things. So we can try all day to stop ourselves from feeling things. That's not going to work. We can fill our minds with the truth. But if it doesn't go into our heart and become an experience that God spoke into your heart, you're going to be trapped by that the rest of your life. For example, let's take drug addiction. When you're needing drugs to appease a certain feeling, to quiet down a certain feeling, you have to understand behind that feeling that makes you want to do the drugs, there's a lie. You don't really know the truth. You don't know the God that is all satisfying. You don't know him. You believe other things. And so you go to the drugs to deaden the fear, and you don't want to let go of the drugs because then you got to face the fear, face the feelings, face all these things that are deep inside of you. Because most people don't do drugs to feel good. Most people do drugs to feel normal. Because they're overwhelmed by what they're feeling, so they do drugs. And then the drugs gives them an escape. So they feel normal, like with a high for a little bit. So they want to keep coming back to it, because when the drugs go away, all those evil feelings come back. And so they don't feel normal. So they want to do drugs to escape, to feel normal. But really, the solution to that is to believe God in whatever area of your life that you're believing the devil deep inside that's producing those feelings, believe God. And he, when he fills your heart in that area, you really believe him, you won't need the drugs anymore. You won't have to escape to the drugs anymore. I was just hearing this teaching on Saturday, and I'm going to end with this. I've been praying for years, asking God to show me how I can help people that have had experiences in the past in their life, and they're letting those experiences dictate their life for the rest of their life. For example, someone who had a painful experience, either abuse or neglect or anything like that. So the rest of their life, they're operating out of the pain of that one experience. And you know these people, and you've seen them. They tend to keep getting themselves into more problems that cause more pain. And they're constantly getting themselves into more problems that cause more pain. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because that pain hurt them. So now they react. Every time they get into a similar situation, they feel that pain and they react. And it causes them more pain. So I was asking God for years, God, how can I help people that have been in that sort of situation? And they just become these twisted people and you can't help them. And they're constantly putting themselves into problems more and more. How can we help them, God? And on Saturday, the Lord put this thought in my mind, transformational prayer, because I found that God has transformed me by prayer. I just felt like Googling transformational prayer. And I found this guy has a ministry, and it's called Transformation Prayer Ministry. And this is what happened. He was a pastor and a counselor, and he would focus primarily on women that were abused. That's kind of where his ministry kind of went. So he would minister to them. So he would speak to them the truth of God's word about what happened, tell them, look, it wasn't your fault. You know, speaking all these beautiful words of truth. You know, God loves you. You're safe now. But anytime they thought about that experience, they would feel fear, powerlessness, like they wanted to die, like they were never, the lack of control. And so that deep feeling inside their heart came from a belief that the devil had planted in their heart about themselves when whatever happened in their life. So he, no matter how much he counseled them, he couldn't get beyond a certain point. He can help them to a certain point, deal with stuff mentally, but then really, they couldn't move on. So one day, he's counseling this lady. He would always have somebody else there. And he said, okay, let's go through this again. I want you to think about what happened. And she would think about what happened. And immediately she would curl up in like a fetal position. She would start to cry. And he would ask her, start to shake. And he would ask, okay, what are you feeling? She said, I feel out of control. Like I'm not in control. I feel fear. I feel like I want to die. I feel worthless. I feel dirty. I feel like it's my fault. Like I could have stopped it. Blah, blah, blah. And so he starts telling her, you know, this is not true. You know, it's all the scriptures. And he starts telling her, this is not your fault. This is not reality. The truth is this and this and this. She says, I know up here, but I feel it. Because no matter how much you told him the truth up here, you couldn't dislodge the lie from the heart. So in frustration, it almost like he almost came out of me. He doesn't know how. He said, Jesus, do you have anything to tell her? I mean, I'm out of ideas. I don't know what to do. And suddenly she stopped crying. She sat up on the couch and he looked at her and was like, what happened? She's like, I'm fine now. He's like, what do you mean you're fine now? You were just crying. And she says, no, I feel fine. He says, why do you feel fine? He says, no, because I realized it wasn't my fault. I couldn't stop it. You know, God loves me. My identity comes from him. All the things that, you know, this counselor had been telling her for so long. She says, well, you know, this is the truth now, and I'm fine. He's like, okay, wait. I've been telling you the same thing for months, but suddenly now you get it. And what happened? And she says, well, Jesus told me. You see, we can speak to the person's mind, but Jesus is the one who can speak to the heart. And when Jesus speaks to your heart by revelation of his Holy Spirit, it becomes experiential knowledge. It becomes an experience. Now you know this truth. It isn't just up in your head. And so when Jesus spoke to her, suddenly by the Holy Spirit, she understood the revelation and boom, she was set free. And so he said, okay, let's think about the memory again. So she thought about it and he said, what do you feel? She said, nothing. I feel peace. I feel fine. And that was like a revolution in his counseling ministry. So he was counseling like many women at the moment, you know, and they'd been patients for many months. And so he started counseling them all that way. He would just lead them through the process of trying to identify the feelings and then identify the beliefs that were behind the feelings. But it was more like a prayer process. They were praying together. And then they would ask the Lord, Lord, speak to her about this. And then the Holy Spirit would come and talk to the person's heart. And he said within a month, they didn't need him anymore. They were fine. And he lost like 40% of his income. But they were all fine. They all went on. They had normal lives and everything was fine. Because the Holy Spirit came in and spoke the truth to their heart. And once this Holy Spirit speaks truth to the heart, it becomes an experiential knowledge. You're no longer bound to the belief system that the devil put in your heart through an experience. And no, those feelings no longer flow from there. Instead, you feel the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants for all his children. I think there should be waiting services to receive the Holy Spirit. I think there should be waiting services to deliver people from demonic oppression and lies of the devil. Because I've seen so many people receive the Holy Spirit, and in so many areas of their life, they keep having the same lie-based ideas inside. Because it's a separate thing. They need to willingly see the lie and renounce it and receive God's truth and be transformed through that. That's really powerful. To me, that was an answer to prayer that I've been praying for years, and the Lord finally answered me this Saturday. And of all the classes I've done, I've never had as much pushback from the devil as I've had for this one. It's been like insane. I was like, why is this happening? Why is the devil attacking me so hard? And I realized it was because of this class. And even the last minute, I was literally about to send the invitation. And suddenly the computer just crashed. It's just like, what? But God wants to tell us, we need to be set free from the lies that we believe deep in our heart. And we've got tons of them. So whenever you have feelings that are not from the Holy Spirit, that are not peace, joy, love, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, all the fruit of the Spirit, any feeling in any area, whether it's anger, lust, fear, anxiety, depression, any feeling that's not a fruit of the Spirit, you need to, first of all, acknowledge, you know, there's a belief in there, in my heart, that is causing this feeling. And ask the Holy Spirit, Father, show me, what do I believe that is making me feel this way? And the Holy Spirit will show you. And then in prayer, ask him, Lord, speak to me. Reading his words, Lord, speak to me about this in my life, this area in my life. I want to hear your voice. And he can talk to your heart. He can reveal his truth to your heart, and it will change everything. It'll be like the sun rising on a new morning. But until God does that work, there's going to be darkness in that area. So let's have a prayer that God will set us free from every lie that the devil has put in our hearts about our identity, who we are, what we're worth, what is really valuable in life. Everything needs to be cleaned out by God. All the beliefs need to be changed for the truth. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I give you thanks, Lord, for all your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness and your truth, Lord. You've never left us nor forsaken us. Thank you, God, that you've spoken to us tonight about your truth, about your power to deliver and to change our seemingly unchangeable circumstance. You can change it, Lord. But you want to get to the root of the issue, which is lies of the devil that we've believed, Lord, perhaps for many years. But God, nothing is impossible with you. And your word is a powerful two-edged sword. Lord, it's a hammer that breaks the rock in two. It's the truth. It is the living truth, the living word, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus. We want to know him more and more, Lord. We want to be filled with his power, with his truth, with your love in every area of our life. We want to close the doors. We renounce all the lies, and we ask you to reveal to us what lies we have believed, what we're holding on to that don't let us be transformed. And please, Lord, change us in every area. Fill us with you, Jesus, so that we can see your beautiful face, so that we can fall in love with you, so we can see you. And by seeing you, Lord, with our hearts, we will be completely enraptured, transformed, and delivered from all the lies of the enemy in so many areas. Set your people free. Clean us from all the lies. And do it the way that you know how, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.